It is Pi Day today.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Happy Pi Day.
We actually recorded an episode entitled Pi quite a while back, but Pi is 3.14 and we have to release episode 3 first, naturally. However, I had some major technical issues trying to get that one out, so the release of Pi has been delayed. No worries, if you're listening to this, Pi is already out, so you can make sure to check that out if you like. We had a bunch of fun creating episode Pi all about space travel. This is episode 4, so it's all about hydrogen. Now, hydrogen is really interesting because it really complements this transportation series we've doing. We've done electric vehicles, and I guess that's sort of road vehicles in general as well. We did air travel. We've done global supply chains, which entails rail, shipping, freight travel, all of that good stuff. And so we're rounding it out with hydrogen. So hydrogen is really both a problem and a solution. Hydrogen is a problem because it is used in all the refineries, and the process for creating hydrogen in these scenarios uses something called steam reformation, which creates a huge amount of emissions, and it's used for refining oil, which then again creates more emissions. However, hydrogen also presents itself as a solution. Hydrogen is an amazing fuel. I've talked about this so many times. It has a very high energy density for its mass, which means that unlike electric vehicles, it offers a clean fuel that also doesn't need to be recharged so often and isn't so heavy. So that's why hydrogen is really promising. So we're going to be talking about both the issues with it and the problems it can solve very soon. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts.
I'm your co-host, Hisham Kanan.
And I'm your other co-host, Sandhya Stapleton.
If you want to share the climate love, we have an exciting proposition. If you share our podcast on Instagram or Twitter, you will get a thank you from us in the next episode that we record. So make sure to tag us so we don't miss your post. Thank you for all your support. I'm just going to wait for a bit because my computer's fan has decided to go mental right now. Okay, never mind. So let's kick this off with the issues that hydrogen has. First of all, is grey hydrogen. So we're going to be getting used to this terminology of grey hydrogen, blue hydrogen, and green hydrogen. But grey hydrogen is produced using large amounts of fossil fuels. I believe it uses methane gas, but I'm not completely sure. I will link that in the show notes when I do my actual research. This sort of hydrogen, as I mentioned in the introduction, is often used for refining oil because hydrogen is a large part of that process, and it's basically just fossil fuel. If you're using fossil fuel to create hydrogen, it's essentially like you're using fossil fuels. It has no renewable benefit. It doesn't harness any of the renewable power that hydrogen possesses because it's used, made by fossil fuels. So grey hydrogen, really, when we're thinking about hydrogen, is actually a real problem. And in that sense, grey hydrogen is a fossil fuel that we're trying to tackle, just like petrol or diesel or kerosene or anything like that. I'm actually just looking at it. I believe the process is called steam reformation, as I said. According to Wikipedia, this is a direct quotation, steam reforming or steam methane reforming is a method for producing syngas, brackets, hydrogen and carbon monoxide, by reaction of hydrocarbons with water. Commonly natural gas is the feedstock. The main purpose of this technology is hydrogen production. And it gives us a wonderful equation here. It says CH4, which is of course methane, and H2O, which is of course water. And then it's got this weird sign, which I assume is equilibrium, which I assume means it can go both ways. But anyway, and then it makes a carbon monoxide and 3H2. So H2 is, of course, hydrogen. Hydrogen is a diatomic molecule, which is why it's 3H2 when it's a gas, because it sort of covalently bonds with itself to share electrons, so it can experience a full outer shell, as well as carbon monoxide, which is a hugely harmful greenhouse gas. Oh, it says it's strongly endothermic. That means that it gets cold, right? Anyway, it is bad stuff. So, yeah. So there are also huge logistical issues with the creation and distribution of hydrogen. So the first of this is electricity. So we've talked about electric vehicles many, many times. And the thing about electricity is that we often say, oh, it's very difficult because there's not much charging infrastructure. But actually, we're sort of wrong, because there's the grid. The grid is this massive piece of infrastructure in most countries in the world, or all countries, just it depends how far out they are, or how well developed the grid is. Anyway, the grid is this method for transporting electricity everywhere in development countries. What you have to do, I believe I've mentioned this in a previous podcast, is that you just have to take the electricity from the grid and put it in your car, which is relatively easy since people can just charge at home. Hydrogen, however, is not so easy. There is no well-developed transportation infrastructure for hydrogen. In fact, hydrogen is often produced right next to where it's used because there's a lack of transportation infrastructure. So this is really a big issue because hydrogen is really difficult to distribute. So it has this, a lot of renewable potential, but it's difficult to harness that because of its distribution issues. Yeah, as I said, it's difficult to transport because it's this high pressure gas. It can leak out. It's very light. If you've heard of the Zeppelin disaster, what was the name of the big ship that fell down? The German one, the Hindenburg.
Which one?
The Hindenburg. That was a hydrogen Zeppelin, right?
I'm not sure.
I'm not entirely sure.
Let me just check. Hindenburg.
Look it up.
Yep, Hindenburg disaster, an airship crash. A German passenger airship caught fire. Yep, that's because it was was full of hydrogen. So hydrogen is very combustible, it's very flammable, and thus it is dangerous and difficult to transport. I mean, you could sort of do some stuff that, like, maybe use natural gas or oil infrastructure, but we'll talk about that in our solutions section. And the last issue is hydrogen carries a lot of energy, but according to, is law of energy preservation? Does that have a fancy name? Have you guys done physics? I think it's just the law of the conservation of energy. Yeah, it's just called the law. Oh, this is actually so awesome. Google has, I looked up law of the conservation of energy, and now it's like giving me this sidebar with things like overview and examples and videos and practice problems and formula. Oh, that's crazy. That's really cool. It's like a Google sort of thing. No, it's the conservation of, law of the conservation of energy, though, I think is what I want. Conservation of energy. Yeah, so that's just its name. It's just conservation of energy. That's fine. So the law states that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transferred from state to state. And we talked about this a bit. We talked about energy stores and transfers in terms of how oil is a chemical energy store, whereas a battery is sort of a method for producing electricity, because electricity is only a transfer. Anyway, I will spare you the in-depth physics and just tell you that because hydrogen has a lot of energy, it takes a lot of energy to create. And if you want either steam reformation or steam reforming with the methane, or using electrolysis, which is a green way to make this, is just extremely energy intensive. It takes up a lot of energy. And of course, for it to be climate friendly, it has to be green energy to make this hydrogen green. So there's a lot of challenges in creating and distributing this hydrogen. But I also wanted to say in this section is that hydrogen is a solution for problems. And so I guess since this is the problem section, I'd say what problems hydrogen is a solution for. So hydrogen is a solution for fossil fuels. Fossil fuels, which have a lot of energy in a small amount of space, cannot be replaced by batteries. This is what hydrogen is solving, is this issue. But we'll talk about that in our next episode. In the next section of this episode. So we'll see you on the other side. If you love Fighting Failure and want to hear more from us, we'd love it if you followed us on all our social media. We have cool, short, animated videos, as well as news updates on YouTube, Fighting Failure Podcast, just search for us, TikTok, at Fighting Failure Podcast. We also share behind-the-scenes pictures on Instagram. I just posted one before this show. You can follow us at Fighting Failure Official. And we also have announcements on Twitter, at Fighting Fail Pod. Why does Twitter not let me have a longer name? Fighting Fail Pod sounds a bit daft. Links, as always, in the show notes. Hi everyone, it's Editing Oscar here. I also wanted to add that if you want to get to our YouTube channel, you can now just go to youtube.fightingfailure.earth to get there really easily. I know it can be hard to find small YouTube channels, so that should make it easier. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. So, as I promised, we will now be talking about the solutions for these problems and the ways hydrogen can be used as a solution for fossil fuel problems. Let's start, as we started before, with grey hydrogen. I did sort of talk about this in the first section, is that the simple solution is electrolysis. But I also mentioned it's important to remember that this uses a lot of electricity, so green energy is a necessity. And so I had some interesting ideas about this, is that you could, because we've talked before about grid fluctuations, or maybe I was talking about this with someone else off the microphone, but anyway, the grid, and especially when you have a renewable grid, isn't producing the same amount of electricity all the time. When you have a lot of sun, We mentioned this when we were talking about electric vehicles and charging them. When you have a lot of sun, you're producing more solar energy. And when it's dark, you're not producing solar energy. When it's windier, you're producing more wind energy. And when it's rainier, you're producing more hydro energy. So all of these are fluctuating, which means that at some points you have surplus energy and at some points you'll have a deficit of energy. So I think an idea with hydrogen is that you have this electrolysis process to create hydrogen only turns on when there's a surplus of electricity to use up the surplus of green electricity. And then you could potentially combust hydrogen to create electricity if there's a deficit. But I think having a green grid is, as always, an important technology to underpin any other green improvements. And the other solution, I guess, to grey hydrogen is what we talked about, how grey hydrogen's primary use is refining oil. So what if we don't refine oil? Because oil is going to run out, and it's going to run out soon. And we also really do want to wean ourselves off the drug that is oil. So not refining oil in the first place also should hopefully reduce demand for grey hydrogen, because since hydrogen is often marketed as a green technology, those who want to use hydrogen will hopefully want to use green hydrogen, whereas the oil industry honestly doesn't give a damn about the climate, so they're just going to be using grey hydrogen to their heart's content. This is the time that we have a big sigh for how horrible the oil industry is. With the section about grey hydrogen out of the way, why is hydrogen a promising future technology? I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Hydrogen is great, and we've talked about this a lot, because of its energy density for its space. It's not so good for space. I did mention this about how ships have a lot of space, but it's definitely good for its mass. Compared to petrol, I think it can store about 3 times as much energy for unit of mass. Another advantage to hydrogen is its only exhaust product is water, and it can also be created with water. Because, of course, if you know your chemistry, as we all seem to, we've talked about chemistry a lot already, more than I expected for sure, the equation for water is, not equation, formula for water is H2O, which means there's two H's and one O.
Duh.
There's hydrogen in water, and we have water, therefore we have hydrogen. And of course, releasing some extra O into the atmosphere doesn't seem to be too much of an issue, I'm sure. The reason that hydrogen is such a great solution is that it works for long distances where batteries don't cut it. If you want to travel, we've talked about road trips before and why they're so stupid, but if you did want to take a road trip for any reason, you probably want to take a hydrogen car because the battery is just not going to get you that far. Oh, that rhymes! You want to take a hydrogen car, the battery won't get you that far. And then long distances on trucks. Trucks go a long way. A lot. So therefore you need hydrogen. That's also self-explanatory. Oh, last of all, I'm just gonna wait for this car to go past. Okay, we talked about air travel in episode 2. Listen to that if you haven't already. And we did mention that airplanes just cannot use batteries. They can't because I'll link this video in the description, but so the show notes. I'm used to being on YouTube, but the show notes. And it says that basically batteries are so heavy that for the battery, unless you're at very small scales, the battery cannot lift its own weight. So you need more energy to lift a higher weight. But the more energy you have, the more weight you're lifting. And it's this sort of the conundrum that you'll never be able to get enough energy.
Endless cycle.
Yeah, it's an endless vicious cycle. Things like drones, you can run on batteries. Very small passenger planes. But when you get any bigger than that, the equations and the physics just tell you that it's just impossible unless we get better battery technology. And we're not. So this is hydrogen. This is where hydrogen is going to be so important. And the last example, I guess, of things that travel long distance, I realize I omitted ships now, but as we talked about that before, so I'll just leave that up for now. But we've talked about rail travel, but not much in depth. It was just a bonus episode. Anyway, trains travel long distances. So we could have hydrogen trains. And actually, there are a few of these in service in Germany and Austria, if my memory does not deceive me. It's a hydrogen fuel cell train. However, I don't really support this. I don't know what you guys think. Trains are really easy to electrify just by having overhead wires or underhead wires. Not underhead wires. Like the third rail on the ground. So trains can be electrified because a constant source of electricity can be provided to the rails. And hydrogen, using electricity to create hydrogen, incurs losses in efficiency because you're losing energy to the creation and combustion process. It's easier just to use the electricity in the first place. We talked about this on ships as well, is why we can't make our own hydrogen on ships is because we should just use the electricity we have to make hydrogen in the first place. So I don't really see any point of having hydrogen trains, but if you disagree, you can send us a voice message. If you just go to fightingfailure.earth, the button is very big, you can't miss it, and we'll be really happy to hear what you think on our next episode. What do you guys think? Is a hydrogen trains a good thing or a bad thing?
Hydrogen trains, of course, you know, it is a solution. You know, it's better than having a fossil fuel power train, but if you can have, you know, an electric train, then I don't know how much, I don't know if it's worth it to, you know, put in the money to kind of shift to hydrogen, because, you know, if you're using an electric system and it's green sourced electricity, then you're perfectly fine. You know, that's a very, very low emission. So then there's not really any point in, you know, wasting the finance on researching how to transfer it to hydrogen and whatnot.
You make a really good point there, is that if we have electric grids, but perhaps in developing countries, we talked about Malawi earlier, where they don't really have this capacity to have an electric train system because of their faulty electric grid, perhaps hydrogen trains could be a solution for that, to replace diesel trains, maybe even just as an intermediary between that, because it is perhaps an easier green fuel. It again depends on logistical issues. We've talked about these solutions hydrogen can solve, but for hydrogen to solve any solutions, it needs to be distributed. It needs to be created and distributed, and there's a serious lack of distribution infrastructure, as we talked about. So how can we solve this? Well, this company Nikola has a promising idea, focusing on the trucking industry. We talked about how hydrogen is produced where it's used, and I think that this is an idea that should be carried forward, is that we create hydrogen at the places where it is filled into the cars on small scale electrolysis rigs, maybe perhaps powered by solar power. If you have solar power on top of a gas station or a servo or a petrol station, whatever you call it, solar power panels on top, an electrolysis machine out back producing hydrogen, filling the tanks, and then filling the cars, that is where you're going to get the most efficiency, because you're not transporting hydrogen and losing energy in the process of doing so. So anyway, another problem with hydrogen infrastructure is because of this very big upfront expense of creating a place to have hydrogen, then the business model of Nikola is to create these refilling stations along the most popular routes for truckers, so that they get a lot of traffic early on to fund future routes. But also, I want to put a sound effect in here. Government initiatives! The government should do the infrastructure and create hydrogen refilling plants along major interstate highways and city centres, I guess, so that there is available infrastructure. I need to find a good sound effect for that. It will be so cool.
Yeah.
Government infrastructure!
And that's just the same. We need initiatives to go electric. We need initiatives to shift to hydrogen. So, you know, whichever way we go, we're going to need the government to take some steps forward to assist in that process.
I couldn't agree more.
Everyone needs to work on this. It's like, not just everyday citizens need to do their part. The government needs to step in too.
The government is the citizens. It's democracy. It's a representative democracy. But, you know, you can't get all the citizens to coordinate, but you can get the government to coordinate. And that's what it's supposed to do. But at the moment, all it seems to serve is the politicians' re-election prospects. Anyway, difficulty of transportation. So as I said, I realize I've already said this, but you're having these small electrolysis stations run by solar panels or other forms of green electricity next to petrol stations, and therefore transportation really isn't needed. I actually recently watched a video by City Beautiful about the redundancy of gas stations, and something interesting he talked about is while you might think of gas stations because, I don't know, you have lots of gas stations and they always have the big brand like Shell or BP or Texaco. But what I was interested to learn is that that is the company that provides the fuel, but it isn't actually the company that runs the gas station. While it might have Shell oil or Shell petrol or Shell diesel, it's not actually being run by Shell. It's being run by a small business owner. And so that did sort of change my mindset about these things, is that the oil companies are trying to get their names out there, and again, disregarding these small businesses. And since I'm very anti-oil industry, but I guess pro-small businesses, it's really interesting to see that. And so I'd much rather be advocating the preservation of the livelihoods of small business owners rather than big, corrupt oil companies. And so that's why I think this reinforces the idea that these people who own gas stations could move away from oil and towards having hydrogen available as well and electric charging as well as these sort of, I guess, green energy stations rather than oil energy stations. And the fact that it's very much on an individual basis is both a good thing and a bad thing, because it means that these individual business owners can choose to switch away from oil and towards hydrogen whenever they like, but it also means that you lack the coordination that would come with a big company operating big chains of servos. I said the Australian word there. Don't ask. This is what happens when you lived in three continents and have friends from another. So there you go, the multinational life. The last thing we talked about was the energy-intensive creation process. I'm not going to dwell on this for long, but we said that using green energy for electrolysis is the solution. I think episodes about energy and grid storage and stuff is coming up soon. Having a green grid is necessary, completely necessary, for having any green technology. Just about all green technologies, other than agriculture sort of stuff, I guess, requires having a green grid, because so much of our solutions are based on using electricity. We have ways to make electricity green, but we also have ways to make electricity black and sooty. So it is just always important to have this green grid and to be sure that you're using a green grid. If you're in the UK, you can actually get renewable electricity for your house if you use a green energy provider. We use Bulb. It's really good. I guess I'll provide a link in the description. I've mentioned it before. I will mention it again. It just quite amazes me how I have this flexibility to switch to a different energy provider. Bulb, if you're listening to this, I would love for you to be a sponsor on the show. I've already written an ad. There are other options as well, so I can demonstrate my impartiality. I think that is all we've got for solution. So next up, we will be discussing a few pieces of media. We've got a YouTube video and an article from The New Scientist, so we'll see you after the break. Now I read this message. New innovative solutions to problems facing our planet are created all the time, so we could never discuss all of them. If you've heard of a new, or old, interesting solution that we didn't mention, or you just have something to add, or even you want to tell us we're awesome, we'd love to hear it, then you can send us a voice message. Go to fightingfailure.earth with no spaces and click message. If you do, you could be featured in a future episode. So the video we are going to be discussing is called The Truth About Nikola. It is a video by Real Engineering on YouTube, and this is a great YouTube channel. I would recommend it. It has a lot of videos about engineering and the insane engineering of stuff. It's some really good stuff, but it's also a lot of climate related stuff. So it's got videos about battery technologies. There's got videos about hydro storage. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I'll just go there now and see what he says. This video was actually taken down, but I was able to find the link. It's unlisted now. Because there's been a lot of kickback, because Nikola turned out to be pretty scammy. But hey. Okay, here's some stuff. So they've got The Truth About Pumped Hydro, The Missing Link in Renewables, How Big Can Wind Turbines Get, Are Renewable Powered Ships Possible, Tesla's Battery Supply Problem, The Mystery Floor of Solar Panels, Economics of Nuclear Energy. So those are some... Oh, here we go. Is 100% renewable possible by 2050? Interconnectors, and the title is, so the thumbnail says, Europe's renewable energy supergrid. Can the ocean solve our energy problems? There's so much good climate stuff on here, so I would really recommend it. Another one, could Earth's heat solve our energy problems? So yeah, I totally recommend it if you're looking for more climate-related, fun information stuff. So go ahead and check it out. Doesn't necessarily mean more subscribers, he's got more than 1 million, but, you know, I don't know. What do I know? I said you know, but I don't actually know what I think you know. Anyway, so this video by Real Engineering has a few things. So this was made before Nikola was revealed to be sort of scandalous. It turned out that they had this promotional video of a hydrogen truck, but they actually just rolled an empty truck down a hill, which is partly funny, but also partly sad. I still want to talk about it because they have a really intriguing business model, which is this, first of all, there's this combination of electric and hydrogen trucks, because they've got this electric truck, the Tre. How do you pronounce it? T-R-E. It's not a tree, it's a Tre. Tre. And hydrogen trucks. And because we've talked about this before in global supply chains, is that hydrogen is more efficient for long distance journeys, but less efficient for short distance journeys, whereas batteries are more efficient for shorter distances. So first of all, they've got this combination, which is good. The second thing, which we've talked about, is this business model of starting with the trucking and starting on the most popular routes, which trucks just go back and forth along, and then moving out. So that's the second interesting development.
Is someone eating a bag of chips or something?
It's just static, I think.
No.
What's that sound?
It's static.
It's just sound.
That's so annoying.
It's just Google Meet sound.
I thought it was coming from your microphone.
Here. Yes? Oh. What?
It's someone clicking on their mouse.
What?
Or it's my my chair moving.
I have been waiting because I have no sense of time. Because I have no idea what time I went out there.
Went out where?
Outside to let Monty do a wee. So I was just been sitting on the ledge of the wall, holding onto Monty's leash, waiting for him to do a wee for 40 minutes, and he did nothing. Just sat there.
Okay, thank you for that information. For context, Monty is a very cute pug. Anything else you'd like to say for the listeners?
Keep showing the climate love.
Thank you, Wilfie. Now close the door and turn the lights off, please. Thank you. Okay. Bye. That is definitely staying in. That is comedy gold. Okay. What were we were talking about partnering with other companies. I'm sure the listener's like, oh, partnering other companies, that sounds so boring. I was enjoying listening to Oscar's little brother talk about the dog not doing a wee for 40 minutes. Anyway, if my memory doesn't deceive me, they were partnering with companies, what was it? I can't remember what it is now, but it was like truck. What's a truck company? It like starts with an I? Truck. No, not truck.
Let's look. Just.
I think you were talking about
get out
tricks,
Uncle Google.
Trucks.
Uncle Google. It's like starts with an I.
Uncle
truck
Google.
Companies.
Where did you get that from?
Iveco. There we go. Found it. Iveco. I believe they partnered with Iveco to license the design of their truck, which is a good idea because it saves you on a lot of R&D time, and even to partner with them for production. Both of these save time, energy, and resources, which is a good idea for a startup. Can I tell you what's not a good idea for a startup? To roll your truck down a hill for a promotional video. The last part of the puzzle, one of the smartest ones, is price matching. So diesel trucks have a price over their lifetime, including manufacturing, including purchase price, including the price of maintenance and the price of fuel, of about 0.9 something p, pence. Not pence. What are you called in the United States? Cents.
Cents.
We use cents in Australia. I don't know why I don't know it. Per mile. And so what Nikola has done is they have sort of bundled everything together to create a leasing model that includes the truck, the maintenance, and the fuel all bundled together for just less than it costs to run a diesel truck. So they're just undercutting it by combining all the services together into this lease model, which I think is very smart.
So if it actually wasn't just a truck rolling down a hill, it would be great.
Yeah, maybe they could just be like a think tank for renewable business models.
Yeah, and then other people can do the actual work.
People who aren't so ethically questionable. So yeah, my last bullet point here is just good business model, bad business. You guys want to add anything?
Nope.
This is a very convincing nope from Hisham there. Do you want to add anything? He's like, don't look at me.
Oh, I have no idea about this hydrogen stuff, Oscar. My brain is like falling out of my ear. Right now, I think my nose is bleeding from the stress. My nose is bleeding right now. It's like, gushing blood right now.
We are your students, Oscar.
So the second article is, we've already redone this article from a different perspective. So last time, we took a look at it from the perspective of air travel. And it's this article, if you can't remember, it's Hydrogen Hope versus Hype from the New Scientist. As I mentioned last time, it is subscriber only. I am a subscriber, so I can see it. But if you're not a subscriber, you can't see it. Let me just get the issue.
So subscribe to it, and then also subscribe to us.
The New Scientist is a great... Yeah, that just make, like, some paper sound effects. Here we go. So this is The New Scientist, 6th of February, 2021. Has a special report, Hydrogen Hope versus Hype. So check that out. They also discuss it on their podcast. It's called New Scientist Weekly. So they do have an episode where they talk about that there. So that is also, that is free to listen. So I'll try and link that. But I'm not exactly sure how to link to an individual episode. Anyway, so the way I want to attack this article in this episode is it has six, it demonstrates six uses for hydrogen. So we're just going to go through those and discuss them. So the first one is trains and planes. So we talked about trains. We talked about how they could be useful as a transition, but also how they're a bit pointless compared to electric trains. The second one is planes. And this is where hydrogen is so much more promising as a fuel. And I remember last time when we talked about air travel, I said that there were only turboprop. But I am mistaken, and I did put a correction in the show notes. But if we go to 0E...
Oscar's mistaken.
Yes, I was mistaken. Sandhya, I make mistakes, please. I'll link this website from Airbus down below, but they've got this really cool image, one that looks a bit like a space plane, one that looks like Bombardier plane with like turboprop, and that's the one that we saw, and that's the one we imagined. But actually there's this one that looks a bit more like almost like an A320 sort of size, because it's got this H2 powered, basically a turbofan style engine. So that could be replacing even our more long haul flights, hopefully in the future. So this is really promising. At Airbus, we have the ambition to develop the world's first zero-emission commercial aircraft by 2035. Hydrogen propulsion will help us to deliver on this ambition. Our zero-E concept aircraft enable us to explore a variety of configurations and hydrogen technologies that will shape the development of our future zero-emission aircraft. That's what they say on their website. Okay, here we go. This is interesting. So the first type is turbofan. Two hybrid hydrogen turbofan engines provide thrust. The liquid hydrogen storage and distribution system is located behind the rear pressure bulkhead. Don't know what that means. The second one says turboprop. It also says the stuff about where the liquid hydrogen is located, but this time it's spinning propellers. But this is the one that I find interesting.
Interesting.
It's called a BWB, blended wing body. The exceptionally wide interior opens up multiple options for hydrogen storage and distribution. It just looks really weird. I'll send you the picture. Just go to this website in the chat and I want you to marvel at the BWB because it just looks stupid. Like, where are the passengers even on this one? But what's interesting to know is they all have the signature Airbus cockpit window design.
Are the wings going up? The wings are going upward.
Well, wings do go upward, they.
Please tell me I'm not, like, going blind or something in my glasses.
Maybe you want to go to the bottom because that's not a very good perspective of the wings.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
There's a video? I need to watch this. Airbus introduces Zero-E. It's a zero-emission concept aircraft. Turbofan. 2,000 plus newton meters. Less than 200 passengers. Cruise speed Mach 0.78. Hydrogen hybrid turbofan. How do they get the videos of their planes flying? Is it just animated? Turboprop! 1,000 plus newton meters. No, this is animated because these aircraft don't exist. Cruise speed Mach 0.5 hydrogen hybrid turboprop. Oh my gosh, the BWB. 2,000 plus... How are 200 passengers being fit in the BWB? This is weird and crazy.
The BWB doesn't look like anything. It's just nothing.
Maybe I'm just completely out of scale. But the BWB... Does it have 8 turbofans?
Why does it look bended?
Because it is. It's got, like, bent-up wings. They just look weird. Okay, we'll need to link this in the description. It is very funny, but we need to move on. Automobiles. Automobiles.
Oscar. The way you have this laid out, I'm looking at our notes right now, and I see planes, trains, automobiles. And if I'm not mistaken, that's a comedy movie, right? Yeah, it is. From 1987. It's a comedy/buddy film. It lasts for 1 hour 33 minutes. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
I'm basically sure that the New Scientist put that in as a joke. But they do genuinely mean planes, trains, and automobiles. But we did discuss trains first. Anyway, automobiles is a fancy word for cars. Hydrogen cars are very much already existent. I believe Toyota has quite a few hydrogen cars that work fine. They use a fuel cell. It's a well-established technology by now. And the solution that they're solving is that you can now go much further on a single charge or a single fill up. And it also doesn't take as long to fill up as it does with electric batteries. So that's quite a few cool things, I guess, that hydrogen has to offer. Because this hydrogen is all about transportation, there's a lot of stuff that I'm saying. We discussed this partly earlier, but here's something we haven't discussed, is home heating. So heating your home, at least here in the UK, you probably don't need to heat your home in India. Oh no, it does actually get quite cold in the winter, doesn't it? I'm mistaken. I don't think there's home heating in Malawi, right? You don't have a heater and a radiator and stuff.
No, we have a cooler, and it kind of has the same negative effect, because, you know, some of these older... cooling systems here actually put out ozone-depleting substances, ODSs, because, you know, they're so old. The houses here, some of them are from 50 years ago, just renovated. But, you know, no one thinks to update their AC. So I'm kind of boycotting my AC right now. I've not used it in a while, but...
My AC is broken, too.
When we lived in Malawi, we didn't have AC. But when we lived in Sri Lanka, we had so much AC. I feel really guilty now. I feel almost like a bit of a hypocrite, but, you know, I'm a reformed convict of air conditioning.
And I do think we're going to go over this in a future episode. I think that this is a scheduled... I think it's a scheduled episode for season two.
Is it? Very nice.
If we don't, you guys can come and be mad at us.
Yeah, send us a voice message, tweet at us on Twitter. You know, the algorithm loves all interaction, so please share it with your friends. Share it with your friends and you'll get a shout out. So anyway, we're back to home heating. In my bedroom where I am right now, I don't have a studio or anything, unfortunately. I have no idea how long a meter is, but I'm about 2 meters away from a heater. And then there's another heater on the other side of the fireplace. I don't use the fireplace, obviously. This is an Edwardian house. But there are two heaters in my bedroom alone. And so these are radiators. We talked about this in physics as they power convection, not radiation. But anyway, what they do is they basically run hot water through pipes. And this requires, of course, a hot water system. And it's actually the same hot water that comes to our shower. Interestingly, it's the same boiler and stuff. Anyway, that boiler is powered by methane gas. So luckily, I am proud to tell you that my gas is 100% renewable, thanks to Bulb. So 25% of it is biogas, which is where methane is being like coming off poop, literally stinky piles of poop, getting methane from those, and then putting that into the grid. But the other 75% are carbon offset, and that I guess just comes through our gas bill. Anyway, most people don't have renewable gas like we do, and it means that it's quite polluting. But honestly, I'm a bit torn about natural gas. I hope we talk about this more in our podcast on energy. But natural gas is in itself a greenhouse gas. Methane in the atmosphere is a very potent greenhouse gas. And if you burn methane, it actually becomes less potent in its combusted form as carbon dioxide. So it's sort of better to burn methane than to just let it go away. And also, since we burn methane in our own houses as natural gas in the on the hob, we have an electric stove here, but most people have a hob with gas. And that if you're doing that inside, I'm going to assume that the emissions from that aren't too bad. But anyway, hydrogen offers some way of having completely renewable home heating. And there's actually been a small-scale trial of this. I think it was in the Netherlands. What does it say? Okay, here we go. In 2019, a project heated homes in the Netherlands with 100% hydrogen. Okay, so it is definitely possible, but whether or not it is scalable is less certain.
Hold on, I need to shout at my siblings.
Stop slamming your doors.
Okay, I'm back.
Another interesting idea for hydrogen is supporting the grid. So I talked about using surplus renewable energy to make hydrogen, but what the article talks about is providing the flexibility that natural gas does today. So if you're unaware, natural gas supports the grid by being very easy to spin up and spin down at any time to provide more or less electricity depending on demand. So hydrogen combustion instead of natural gas could be a viable alternative here, which is really interesting. Two more to go. So heavy industry uses hydrogen as well, and I honestly haven't researched this much, so I can't talk for long, but it could give us a potential to create steel, a very important resource, without the associated carbon emissions. Before we round off for today, the last section of the article is entitled Making Green and Blue. And what it means by that is that green hydrogen is 100% renewable, whereas blue hydrogen uses the steam reforming method we talked about earlier, but uses carbon capture as well to limit its emissions. It's not completely zero emission, but it is promising. To have large-scale hydrogen, we need to use blue hydrogen, because it's a green hydrogen can be quite energy inefficient. But there you go. If you have anything to add, make sure to send us a voice message on Anchor. You could be featured in a future episode. Subscribe to our social medias. Lots of cool stuff there as well. Extras to the episodes. Thank you for listening and keep sharing the climate love. Goodbye and happy Pi Day. Although when this comes out, it will not be Pi Day. Anyway, unless I release it today and work all day editing it. Goodbye, people.